Heavenly Father, I'm so glad that you love sinners. Lord, we're so much unlike you. God, you had it in your heart. You wanted us so bad, and I can't understand it. Oh, Lord, you sent the best. My God, thank you, Lord, for loving us like your own son. We're overwhelmed by it. Oh, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Help us now, in Christ's name. Amen. Mark chapter number 2, in a meeting like this is such common scripture that if this has been read and preached on, number one, I won't do as good as somebody else did, but this is what the Lord's got. I can't get away from it. And I appreciate Brother Steve. A lot of things that you say about a man, he's gracious. I love that. In a man, graciousness. It's in his spirit. Not something you put on. Not something you work up. It's a brokenness. It's what it is. Brokenness. And only God can break a man. When he breaks us, the Spirit of God can flow through us. Help people. Because my flesh can't help anybody. But the Holy Ghost in me can. That's the only help I got for anybody. Is this word and what's in me. I'm glad to have the divine nature. Thank God at regeneration. God put heaven in us when he saved us. Isn't that wonderful? We heard a little bit of heaven in the Holy Ghost put that seed of God's word. He found a lodging place. He brought conviction and impregnated us. He brought forth faith and repentance. He brought forth a birth. And that's so precious, isn't it? Oh, my. Thank God. There's a part of us can't sin. There's a part of us don't want to sin. Part of us that just loves holiness and God and everything about him. One day that part, the rest of us going to get caught up with that spirit, that new nature. And I am looking forward to that. Well, let me just say this. I don't know if I'll talk to you or preach a little bit. But some things there's no substitute for. Well, there's no substitute for a mother conceiving and bringing forth a child. The process that's involved in that, the gestation period, and then the travail, the birth, all that's involved in that, you can't bypass that. That's something that's no substitute for. And there is no substitute for winning people to the Lord. The old-time way is all that'll work. It's all that'll work. God's way. When David tried to bring back the ark of God, he brought it back like the world. And God judged Uzzah. And David got upset and said, Lord, you're holy and you've got so much justice and you're so far away from us. How are we going to get to you? And God said, you can get to me when you do what I told you to do. He got back in the word of God and found out how to get it there. Amen. You cannot bypass or substitute God's men. He said, you go get the ark of God and you carry it. You find out how I told you to carry it. And you get some men that get a burden and know how to pray and got faith and they can exalt Christ that brings the glory of God. There's no substitute for that. No substitute. There's no substitute for winning the lost. It takes preaching. It takes praying. It takes people living for God and the Lord moving through them and touching lives of people. That's just God's way, and I believe it's right. Well, in the book of Mark chapter number 2, I'll get into this right quick. I'm honored to be here. I'm honored to be anywhere. God touched me on this altar. I wasn't going to tell this. Lord, touch me on this altar. 2005, I'd got sleep apnea, and you guys that snore real big, you better get a sleeping machine if you want to live. That's what got me. I got sleep apnea. And it weakened my heart till it was 18%. And I was up for a heart transplant. And I hobbled in this place. I'd be in the hospital and put a pacemaker defibrillator in me. And I hobbled in here. And If I remember right, I wasn't on oxygen, not because I wouldn't come in here on oxygen, but I was supposed to be. And I got out. Listen, I was determined to live. God help me. And I believe in the sovereignty and providence of God, but I believe man's responsible, and I'm going to start walking, do whatever it takes. If God's going to let me live, I'm going to do my part. So that night, I was sitting back there, and there's some men from the church here. I believe it's Keith Scruggs, Max Presswood, and Lou Cole, if I remember right. And the Holy Ghost spoke to me. And I'm not saying that he does that all the time, but he did then. And he said, if you get on that altar tonight, I'll touch you right up there. Not tomorrow night, not next year, right now. Right now. And I come down here and prayed, and Brother Steve come down there. And in 3 months, my heart injection fraction, I go to Charlotte for get tested for heart transplant. The man comes out and says, what are you doing down here? I said, well, they sent me down. He said, you don't need to be down here. Your injection fraction's already at 45. And now it's in the upper 60s, and I never used a pacemaker defibrillator, hallelujah. Most 1 or 2%, anybody do that, sleeping. So they took it out, and the battery got low, they took it out. Yes, amen. Amen. Lord touched me right over here. Amen. It sure did. Amen. He sure did. Amen. He chose that place. Yes. He could have done it, Brother Steve. He could have done anywhere he wanted to. I just like where God chooses to save people to, don't you? Where he chooses to meet with them. The Old Testament, they build an altar and leave it standing. It's where God met with me. Mark chapter number 2, verse number 1. And this is all that matters here. Again, he entered into Capernaum. If he hadn't got there, nothing else would have mattered. He entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. Oh my, noise. Man. Straightway many were gathered together, insomuch there was no room to receive them, though not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. They come in, bring one sick of the palsy, born of 4. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where it was. When they broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven him. And there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why did this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sin but God only? Well, hallelujah, they just told the truth. Ha ha. What they didn't know, that was God standing in front of them. If you don't believe that, you're going to go to hell. You can't go to heaven not believing the deity of Christ. He ain't a good man. He's God, the Son of God, wrapped in human flesh. And immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, yeah, God can read your mind. He said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, take up thy bed and walk? Now watch this. If the Lord had just said, your sins are forgiven, anybody, that you couldn't validate that. Now the man could, because he had felt the burden lifted. You couldn't validate it. You had to take his word for it. But when the Lord healed him, that was evidence to all. Because the man that was carried in got to walk off carrying the bed. That's the evidence of salvation. That's the glory of salvation, that you don't leave the way you come. Amen. And he had victory over that brought him there. Aren't you glad for that? So the Lord said, well, it takes God to do either one of them. It takes God to forgive a man. It takes God to really heal a man. So take either one of them you want. I forgave him, and then there's evidence that I did. Amen. I like that, don't you? That you may know the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. He said to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch they were amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. So I'm talking to you a little bit on the greatest thing you can ever do for a man. Amen. The greatest thing you can ever do for a man. Here's 4 men that get a burden for their friend. And they know from past experience that if they can just get this man to the Lord, that the Lord can help him. I mean, they had faith in the power of God and in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. These men believed the Lord had the power, had the purpose, had a passion. He'd help him. They just get him there. Well, I tell you, that's the day and hour we're living in. If we could just get men to God and get them to listen. And you can't, but you can do the best you can. Our biggest problem today is getting a man's ear. How do you get a man's ear? You can't. God's got to get his ear. There's a million things distracting people. That's where the providence of God comes in, and that's where discernment comes in. We're to watch people and try to discern if the Lord has got their ear. That's when we zero in on them. I mean, really zero in on them. Somebody had to get him there. It didn't matter how much power Christ had. Somebody had to get him there. Boy, what a blessing that somebody had a burden to get him there. This man is on the mat. These men, the four men that carry him, everybody is in desperation. There's cooperation here from five men. The sick man. He has enough faith in his friends to believe that they've got the right motivation and that they really want to help him. These four men had such a love and a desire for their friend. It was worth the effort and worth the labor to get him to the Lord. Amen. Now watch this. This old boy is sick of the palsy. He didn't say he was born with the palsy. It says he was sick of the palsy. How that means this man's had a paralytic stroke. He's not always been a crippled man. He used to get walk, but he's sick of the palsy, and he can't walk. Here's this man showing it. It's going to be evidence by the Lord. He can heal the worst cases. Amen. And do it for free. Aren't you glad for that? I tell you, if we see people saved, we ought to want to see them saved, how that Christ might be glorified. Not just to keep them out of hell, but that they can live for God, know God, serve God, and glorify the God that saved us. Hallelujah. This sinner here is paralytic. He illustrates the sinner. He is unable to walk. He can't walk in the ways of God. Paralysis has disabled him. He can't walk, he can't stand, and he has no strength. But when we were without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. I'll tell you, folks, listen, I believe in witnessing the people, praying for people, and if you're saved, you do too. But the greatest thing we could ever do for folks is so live for God and worship the Lord that the Lord would get in our house, get in the house of God, so that when sinners come, there'll be something there to move upon them and draw them to the Lord. His paralytic man is at the mercy of God. But he's also at the concern of his friends. For this man ever got to Christ, some of his friends got to him. Notice these friends here, four men. They had a cause. They had a concern. They had a compassion. They had a conviction. They had a commitment. They had a consecration. They had a courage. They had a cooperation. And they had a compelling. There's something on the inside that compelled these men. Oh, I like that when God puts a burden on you and compels you to go after somebody. These four friends knew that what they were doing was the greatest cause in all the world. Amen. It's what this old boy needed. It's what everybody there needed. This friend is on a mat and he can't get up. But these men had a cause and they had a concern and they're moved with compassion and they're willing to labor. They're willing to cooperate. 1 Corinthians 3:9, we're laborers together with God. We're God's husbandry. You're God's building. Boy, isn't that a blessing? That God doesn't give all the gifts to one person. Isn't it good? Most preachers can't sing. Now some of y'all can, and you're really blessed because you're going to be preaching in churches probably where nobody there can sing. But thank God that God spreads out the gifts so we can cooperate to get men to Christ. That's the cause of ours. I know it's to glorify God, but it ain't nothing but shouting your soul like seeing men converted. I'm telling you what, it's the greatest thing in all the world. Boy, we can't work without Christ. You know what? There's an old writer said this. I don't know who to attribute this to, but he said, we cannot work without God, and God chooses not generally to work without us. It's God's way. You say, why do we preach? It's God's way. Why do we pray? It's God's way. Why do we witness? It's God's way. That's the way God does things. Aren't you glad for that? I could say a lot there, but I'm going to move on. These men were willing to commit. They were willing to cooperate. They were willing to comply. And they were willing to condescend. The need of this friend took precedence over everything in their life. That's the way that revival time used to be. Oh, the church would go into labor. There was nothing more important. They'd put the horse in the barn, come out of the field, and give themselves to the salvation of the lost. I knew that was going to happen, Brother Steve. These things and me do not get along. Is that all right? Amen. Praise the Lord. But the main thing was that something took precedence. I'll tell you, when a little baby gets sick, how the sickness of that child takes precedence in the minds of mom and daddy. How when bad things, tragedies happen, it takes precedence in our life. Oh, that God had put a burden on us again, that this lost and dying world will become a precedence in our life. And we beg God, God, give me a burden. Oh, God, put it on me. Help me, God, to be concerned with those that you're concerned with. Amen. 1 Corinthians 3:12. Any man build on this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, any man's work abide, he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. Do you know that everything you do in this world, you're going to be rewarded for according to what you did for the church? That's what you're going to get judged for. How you stood by the church, the body of Christ. You can't separate it. You love God, you love his church. Boy, if there's ever been a day how we need a cause and a concern and a compassion, a conviction, a commitment, a courage, a cooperation, a compelling, it's in this day and hour that we're living for. Thank God that some men willing to help somebody and not get recognized for it. Amen. What's the name of these four men? You don't know. I guarantee you, the old man on the mat knows. God knows. I tell you, when you're broken before God, you're not trying to promote yourself. Oh, that God would get the glory. That we'd do things not to be recognized, be willing to be in the, not the forefront, but in the background. And if you never get recognition here, it doesn't matter anyhow. As long as God got glory, amen. These men were not satisfied to sit around and do nothing. There's a man on the mat that's counting on them to do something for them. Now, what would move these men to go to all this problem? I tell you what did. The Lord been all around Galilee before he got to Capernaum. He's been up there kicking demons out of people, devils out of people, healing people, and his name got out. The fame of what he did got out. That's what our church ought to be known for. Not kissing or kicking and cussing and carrying on. It ought to be known for them ex-demon-possessed people and those paralytic people and those God's healed with his saving grace. What a testimony to a lost world. Hey, there's hope for you out there. The Lord's delivered some in here and they just as bad or worse than you are. Hallelujah. That's why God builds his church like he does. Yes, sir. Boy, there's a consecration. It produces a compulsion. You know what that compulsion is? For God so loved the world. Amen. Greater love had no man than this. A man laid down his life for his friends. So here, right quick, they got the same objective. They got the same burden. They're headed in the same direction. They got the same cause. They got the same motive. And they got the same answer. They didn't know much, but they knew, in the words of old Bonhoeffer, that Jesus is, he's the friend of a common man. He's a man for others. Aren't you glad today you can bring a sinner to the Lord Jesus Christ? Not worry if the Lord loves him or not. Not worry if the blood's got enough power. Not worry if they're too hard a case for our God. Thank God he can. been saved to the uttermost, those that come to God by him. Now, I'll show you something. If the Lord heals this old boy, it's going to bring great glory to Christ. It's going to help the faith of these men, everybody watching. It's going to be a great blessing to that whole community, and it's going to give hope unto others. Boy, the difficulties arise. Here we go right quick. The carrying of the man is a great difficulty. Boy, that's work, that's labor. Carrying the man in prayer under a burden. It's difficult work. And then there's the difficulty of the crowd. The crowd standing in the way. They get up there. Nobody can get in that house. There's 1,000 reasons to turn around and go back. But there's one reason that supersedes all the 1,000 reasons. And that's the need of their friend. They can just get in. Tell the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't go along with the crowd and get men to Christ. You've got to get above the crowd. The crowd will make you lose your focus and your fervor and your faith. You've got to get above the crowd. They never got that man to Christ. Yeah, they got above the crowd. Amen. Thank God. Exalted in prayer. And having faith to get above the unbelief and the all of the disappointments of this old world. Notice this. They got this old boy above the crowd. He's got to see Christ. These old boys want to help him, but they can't. When they could not come now for the press, they uncovered the roof where it was. When he broken it up, they let down her in the sick of the palsy lay. Now notice something here. The Bible says in Mark 2:2, I want to zero in on this right quick. He preached the word unto them. Same story, Luke 5:17. The Bible talks about him preaching the word, teaching the word, communicating the word. Now, everybody there, including these four men, and everybody on the outside, most of them there are for entertainment. They want to see something like Herod wanted to see Jesus put on a sideshow for him. But some of them are there to hear the word. There was no miracle before the word. The message had to be preached before they got to the miracle. That's God's way. You want to see men say the message has got to go out. And it when the message is going forth, it looks like nothing's taking place. But the Holy Ghost is putting that word in somebody's heart and producing faith and repentance in their heart. Boy, this house is probably the house of Simon Peter. You know that day how they made those flat roofs and made out of mud and out of branches and different things. Boy, they go up the side of that house and get on top of the house. They know there's one thing about it. They've come too far to turn back now. They got to get this boy down to the Lord. Ain't nobody the Holy Ghost put that in you. Boy, there's difficulty. There's a carrying, there's a crowd, there's a climb. Then there's a complexity of lowering this man. Boy, when they tear this roof off, somebody's got to get him down. I don't know how they done that. I don't know if they had ropes. I don't know if somebody held their heels. And I don't know how they done this. But they got to do it right or this boy's going to fall off that mat. He's already paralyzed. He doesn't need round two. What little bit left ain't paralyzed. He don't need to get paralyzed. Boy, the difficulty. Listen to me now. When a sinner's under conviction and they come to God and they want you to deal with them, that's the most dangerous time of all. Boy, that's right. Old brother Mike Hodges is preaching a revival up in the mountains of North Carolina, and the Holy Ghost fell. Dayton Jones is preaching the meeting. About 300 people there, and there's packed in there an old sinner they've been praying for a long time. He said, Brother Mike said, that when the invitation was given, he had always run out the back door. But that night, he come to our daughter. Man, that guy got on the altar. He said, as soon as he did, here come a man to deal with him. He said, I knew that man, that sinner had no confidence in that man. He said, I got down between them. The devil is still trying to steal that soul. Boy, when people are in the best of circumstances, we've got to understand the lies and the deception right in the house of God. Boy, there's difficulty in getting men to the Lord Jesus Christ. But thank God, like this old boy, the Holy Ghost calls us, carries us, cares for us, corrects us, and compels us. Aren't you glad for that? Now I got to finish this up. Mark 2:5, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the sick of the palsy, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." The faith of the four got the man to Christ. The faith of the paralytic man got him healed. When the Lord saw their faith, that's all five of them. If you get saved by God's grace, mama can't do it for you. Daddy can't do it for you. They might get you to Christ in prayer and in worship, but you have to exercise faith in Christ. The faith of the four men got him to Christ, but thank God this old boy laying there had faith that the Lord could help him. Each level of this procedure here, faith is exercised. Boy, faith saved a man. Faith in Christ, that is. Notice this. The four men didn't ask Christ to come down and visit them. No. He didn't ask the Lord to make a house visit. They brought the man to the Lord. Amen. Bible says in verse 11, "I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, go thy way into thine house." Thank God they're not preaching a social gospel. They got concerned with this man's soul. They were more concerned with his soul, the Lord was, than the physical. And then when the Lord forgave him of his sins, he gave him the power to walk back home. In Mark 8:36, "Oh, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What can a man give in exchange for his soul?" And the Lord said in Matthew 9:2, "Be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee." What a day, what a joy when you knew the Lord had forgiven you. Hallelujah, and glory to God for forgiveness. Psalm 32, "Blessed is he whose transgressions is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity." The greatest cheer. Listen to me. I say this in closing. The yellow light is on. Red, yellow, green. This is backwards. Green, yellow, red. I'm going to tell you the worst part about going to hell. You'll never know God. That's the word. It ain't that hell's forever, and it is. It's not there's fire there, and there is. Hell is a place you'll never know God. And that's the hell of hell, to never know the lovely Lord Jesus in saving grace, to never know what it is to fellowship with God, to never know that intimacy and communion with God. Be of good cheer, son. Not that you walk back home. Be of good cheer. You know God. You know Christ. And no matter what your earthly situation is, thank God. Cheerio. Be of good cheer if you know God. He met the master, didn't he? If you're in here today and you're lost, somebody carried you here. Amen. Been a lot of prayers through the years to carry you up to the Lord. And God deal with you and save you by his grace and birth you into the family of God. I want to ask you a question. Would you labor for one? If you stand in the old church, Dr. Percy Ray went to Myrtle Baptist Church December 1935. And that little building was built in 38. If you stand in the pulpit and all the furnishings are still there like it was then. If you stand behind that pulpit and look to your left, one Sunday night, the devil's come against him so strong and he got so discouraged. He said, "Lord, I'm leaving it with him." He got down from that pulpit to walk out that door. And there's a woman standing in that door and said, "Brother A, will you stay for one?" Oh, listen to me. Will you stay for one? She said, "Brother A, I've been praying and fasting. Don't you let these devils run you off. You go through this door, you're going to be out of God's will. Do you get back to this door? Now you get back up there and you stand for God. And there's one here going to stand with you. Will you go? Will you stay for that sinner? If God wants you to, that sinner might be your boy and it might be your girl. It might be an old grandma been praying 50 years and God may be about to save her grandchild. Oh, and God puts that in your heart. Will you stay? Will you labor for one?" And really, Brother Steve, we are laboring for one, and that one is the Lord Jesus. Amen.